Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'd like to go over just a few announcements that are in the bulletin. If you'll open your bulletin on the inside panel, you'll see all the announcements listed. We've started the countdown for our summer Bible clubs, only 4 weeks left. It's not too early to be praying and thinking about snack donations. The Fish Pond Day Camp is coming up, and they can use your help. You can read about it in the announcements there. Bible Club in Ireland, see Sheena Daniels if you're interested in that. The Golf Scramble, make sure you sign up in the back for the 30th. Also, the Loving Choices bottles are in the back. They have an insert in here that runs from Mother's Day to Father's Day every year, so it's easy to remember. Grab the bottles in the back. And if you're interested in baptism, talk to Pastor Brad. That's going to be coming up at the end of the month. Well, welcome this morning to our service. Special welcome to all of our mothers and any guests that we have. If you are a guest, pull out the little insert in the bulletin. You can tear it off just to let us know who you are and how we can pray for you on the back. Let's start this morning in prayer. If you'll stand with me, we'll pray together and then sing our hymns. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you on your day among your people to sing your songs. You are the creator and sustainer of all things. You knit us together in our mother's womb, and you sing over us. You quiet us with your love. Your created order shows your love for us. You gave us mothers to show us your nurturing love, and you set us in families so that we would not be alone. Lord, thank you for our mothers. Bless them, we pray. With you, Lord, it is grace upon grace. When we fall, you pick us up. When we sin, you provide a way back through your Son. You are our hope and song. All that we have is yours, and we lay it at your feet. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and we praise you from generation to generation. Hear us today, accept the praise we bring, for it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. If you'll turn to number 12, we're going to start this morning with Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. This is our hymn of the month, so we're going to have a little fun with it. Let's do the first verse, just the men, second verse, women, and third verse, everyone all together. Number 12. Here we go, men.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim. All in heaven above adore thee. Infinite domain, everlasting is thy reign.
Women, together.
Oh.
turn over to number 21. We'll sing Stand Up and Bless the Lord, number 21.
Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of his choice. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Though high above all praise, above all blessing high, who would not fear his holy name and laud and magnify? Oh, for the living flame from his own altar brought to touch our lips, our minds inspire, and wing to have our thought. God is our strength and song, and his salvation nurse. Then be his love in Christ proclaimed with all our handsome powers. Stand up and bless the Lord, the Lord your God adore. Stand up and bless his glorious name.
Be seated. The men are going to come now and sing in our annual tradition of having a Mother's Day men's chorus. We'll be singing, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
those boys.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Well, it is Mother's Day, and we want to take a special occasion to read. Proverbs chapter 3 will be our text this morning, if you want to follow along. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be talking more about this in a minute, so I thought it'd be appropriate to read it now. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Bow with me, would you? Our Father, how wise and gracious you are to give us mothers. Thank you for them. We do honor them today. We know they're not perfect, but we see how you have used them in our lives to teach us, to shape our character, to give us wisdom. And so we do thank you for them. I pray that you would encourage each mom here, each mom in our church, to be faithful, to be diligent, to not grow weary in well-doing, to not doubt the significance of her labors, to see that she is a primary means you use to call us to faith and obedience to Christ. So we just ask today that you would encourage their hearts, strengthen their hands. We pray for our children, the children of this church, that you would cause them to truly listen and learn from the instruction of their moms and gain the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would give every mom here the desire of her heart, which is children who love you and live for you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand again, and in your bulletins, you'll find the insert for Before the Throne of God Above. We'd like to sing that now, Before the Throne of God Above. Dismiss the kids to Children's Church.
All right, if you would, then open your Bibles again back to Proverbs chapter 3. On this special occasion, we just want to take the time to honor moms. I don't take this day lightly. It's always an opportunity to talk about motherhood or about parenting or about the responsibilities involved in all of that, and I want to seize on every opportunity to do that. And just to encourage moms and to reinforce your labors as you are seeking to bring up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's a tough job. It's a dirty job. It's a thankless job a lot of times. And no one but a mother would ever do it. you know, for those hours and that pay. Nobody else would ever do that. And I know one of the biggest challenges is getting children to listen. And so this morning I want to undergird your labors by giving an exhortation to all children. Listen to your mother. And moms, to begin with, you should be encouraged that your children do listen. You may not think so, but they hear more than you realize, and more of it sticks than you may even wish sometimes. For instance, these are some of the things that every kid has heard mom say. Where do you think you're going? Not dressed like that, you're not. What do you mean you don't have anything to wear? You have a closet full of clothes. What part of no don't you understand? Because I said so. That's why. Who said life was fair? If they were all jumping off a cliff, would you do that too? Don't look at me with those eyes. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Don't ever let me catch you doing that again. This hurts me more than it hurts you. You'll thank me someday. Don't make me get up. Don't make me come in there. Don't make me turn this van around. Don't make me say it again. I don't care who started it. I said, stop it. Wait until your father gets home. Bored? I never got bored when I was your age. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Wipe your feet. Mind your manners. Don't talk with your mouth full. Close the door. Were you raised in a barn? I said close the door, not slam the door. You better wipe that look off your face. Eat your vegetables. They're good for you. You're going to put an eye out with that thing. You will eat it, and you will like it. Hungry? We just ate. Where are you going to be? Who are you going to be with? Call me when you get there. Someday your face is going to freeze like that. Put that down. You don't know where it's been. Do you think money grows on trees? I don't know. It's not an answer. Don't roll your eyes at me. Go ask your father. Well, your laughter confirms that these are things that kids, all of us kids, have heard our mothers say. So kids do listen. They hear you. The trick, mom, is repetition. We remember those things best that you repeat most. And so to encourage you and support you in your role as a mom this morning, I want to give you some things to repeat frequently to your children. They come from Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs, as you know, is all about wisdom. Defining it, illustrating it, exalting it, contrasting it, and appealing, especially to young people, to prize it and pursue it and practice it. We're told in chapter 4 to make it a priority in life, to get wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 5 says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, with all your acquiring, acquire wisdom and get understanding. Young people are ambitious to acquire a great many things. Money, friends, popularity, freedom, adventure, recognition, fame, influence, happiness. And this book says, God says, the most important thing, the most valuable thing you can acquire is wisdom. And all you're getting, get that. Chokmah is the Hebrew word. It means skill, skill for living. It referred to a master artisan or craftsman or musician. You were considered wise if you had a skill, if you knew how to do something well. So it's not just knowing things, it's knowing how to do things. Solomon's famous judgment illustrates it very vividly. When the two mothers came fighting over ownership of the one surviving child, there was no law covering that. He couldn't look it up in Leviticus 13. Ah, here it is. If a woman sleeps on her baby and smothers it, and then swaps her dead child for another woman's living child, and you have to decide to whom the living child belongs, this is what you do. He couldn't do that. But even without a law, he knew what to do. Cut the baby in two and give each mom half. And immediately the true mother spoke up. That's wisdom. It's knowing the word of God well enough that in situations where no scripture applies, you still know what to do. And that's why we need wisdom, because there's not a law or a command in the Bible for every conceivable life situation. But if you know the Word of God and you know the God of the Word, you'll know what to do. You'll know the best course of action to take to achieve the desired result. That's wisdom. So how do you get that? Well, that skill begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's sort of the motto of the book of Proverbs. Fear the Lord. Wisdom begins with a right relationship to and a proper reverence toward the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? That is, do you recognize that God is, that if you exist, He exists, that He's the Creator, He made you, He owns you, it's His air you breathe, it's His resources that you consume and enjoy. Do you recognize your dependence upon Him? Do you understand that this is His universe, and for you to be happy and successful in His world, you have to play by His rules? Wisdom begins with that proper attitude of fear and awe and humility and honor toward the Lord. He's God and I'm not. This is His world and He's the center of it, not me. I answer to Him. I'm accountable to Him. Beyond that, wisdom then largely comes from listening. Being teachable, being able and willing to listen to the instruction and correction of those who are older than you and wiser than you. Learning from their experiences and their mistakes so you don't have to make them yourself. And that process generally starts at home. Starts at home with your parents. In fact, notice the connection. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then what's the very next verse? Hear, my son, your what? Your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There's a natural progression there. There's a connection there. You want to live in the fear of the Lord? You want to be wise? You want to not be a fool? Then listen to your father and your mother. And of course, that implies, it assumes that your father's instruction and your mother's teaching was God's law. Scripture. You need to listen to them because they're teaching you the Word of God and the ways of God. We understand that isn't always the case. But if you're here, it probably is the case. And so you need to listen to them. Hear, my son, or hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That becomes then one of the themes, one of the threads that runs through wisdom literature, particularly here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Chapter 10, verse 1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. 19:26, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. 20:20 says, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. 23:25, let your father and your mother be glad. Let her rejoice who gave birth to you. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. 30, verse 11, there's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Chapter 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out. The young eagles will eat it. Chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. So, in other words, that's the whole point of the book of Proverbs, is it's about getting wisdom, which begins with fearing the Lord and listening to your father and your mother. Proverbs 3 is no different. It just follows that motif. In fact, it's typical of what we find throughout the book. So that's why I wanted to look at it. Let's look at it in two parts: mom's rules and mom's reasons. Mom's rules, first of all, the first 12 verses. In verses 1 through 12, if you look at it, there are six pairs of two verses. Okay? Six pairs of two verses. Each set contains a command and a corresponding benefit. Command, verse 1, benefit, verse 2. Command, verse 3, benefit, verse 4. Command, verse 5, benefit, verse 6, and so on, six times. And each of those, each one, has to do with your relationship to the Lord. That's the key thing. That's the most important thing. The exhortation here is to listen to, obey, trust, fear, honor, submit to the Lord. That's the most important thing in your life. And believe me, that's the most important thing to your mother. Not your grades, not how many trophies you bring home, not how successful you grow up to be, not how much money you make, not even how many grandchildren you give her. Ultimately, her greatest burden, her greatest concern is with your relationship to the Lord. Do you trust and love and obey and honor the Lord? That's every godly mother's chief concern for her kids. So if you want to honor her, if you want to make your father and mother glad, walk with God. Commit your life to the Lord. Follow Him. Serve Him all your days. In other words, listen to your mother. Listen to your mother. Because underlying all of her mom-isms is ultimately that burden and that consuming motivation. So let's look at these, and maybe not in these exact words, but these will be the things and should be the things that every child hears mother say repeatedly. Number one, obey the word of the Lord. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Stated negatively, do not forget. Stated positively, but keep. And together that means obey. Obey, listen, and learn, and treasure, and obey my teaching and my commandments. And again, it's implied that my teaching and my commandments are the very teachings and commandments of Scripture. In fact, the terminology there is synonymous for words that refer to God's law, God's word. So do not forget them, keep them. That's the command. And then what's the benefit? Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you, prosperity, longevity. Peace is the word shalom, the ultimate really blessing in Hebrew thinking, shalom, which means more than just maybe what we think of peace, absence of conflict or absence of war. It means wellness, wholeness, completeness. Complete well-being is the idea, physically, mentally, materially, spiritually. It's what we mean when we sing, it is well with my soul. And this says that is added to you as you conform your life to the teaching and commandments of God's word. And young people, listen to me. You need to do that. You need to be saturating your mind and your heart with the teaching and commandments of God's word. Now is the time to be doing that. It's critical for you to be doing that now for the long-term well-being of your life. There are two things that are competing all the time for your brain: God's truth and Satan's lies. And everything is one or the other. And that's all there is. And the junk that you're exposed to 99.99% of the time in our culture is not God's truth. And so if your mind is saturated with that, it's going to be detrimental to your health and well-being. If you're listening to Eminem and Zac Brown and Katy Perry more than Moses, John, or Paul, then you are subtracting from your life, not adding to it. So listen to your mother when she tells you to read your Bible. Number two, keep your commitment to the Lord. Verse 3 says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Those words are synonyms. Loyalty, faithfulness would be another way to translate it. You've been taught loyalty. You've been taught kindness, truth. Don't let that leave you. But those are also covenant words, loving kindness and truth. They're the two words that summarize God's covenant keeping loyalty and faithfulness to his people. And therefore, they're two words that ought to summarize and characterize our covenant faithfulness to the Lord. Bind them around your neck. Not like a rope, like a yoke. They lead you, they control you, they guide you, or like a necklace, they adorn you. Write them on the tablet of your heart means internalize them, not, you know, hang a phylactery from your body like the Pharisees did, but internalize them, own them, let them shape how you think and who you are. Why? Again, the benefit, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. In other words, the exhortation here is to keep the faith that you've learned and professed, and you'll grow in your usefulness to God and men. Many of you here have made professions of faith. You've said, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Christ. Some of you have been baptized up here and said that publicly. Well, you've entered into a covenant relationship with God, and you need to keep your end of that covenant just as God keeps his end. So listen to your mother and don't walk away from the faith. Keep the faith. Persevere to the end and prove yourself a true believer. Number three, trust the Lord. I hope you've heard your mom say that. Trust the Lord. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. The idea here is to trust to the Lord. It's sort of a directional idea. Aim your heart toward the Lord as the object of your trust. That's what it's saying. which is to say, do not lean on your own understanding. See, that's the alternative. You're trusting the Lord, or you're leaning on your own wisdom. Which is it? And leaning on, I mean, your own understanding is like a rotten post. You ever lean up against a rotten post? What happens? You fall over. You put all your weight on it, it doesn't hold you up. So lean not on your own understanding, but on the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him means you don't do anything without considering the Lord. You're always thinking about Him, what would be pleasing to Him. And then the benefit, He will direct your paths, or He will make your paths straight, which has to do not so much with guidance and direction as it has to do with smoothing the way and taking obstacles and hardships and things out of the path, so that you can reach the appointed end without losing your way or falling away. But this really is the center and marrow of true wisdom. It's trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Fix your trust. He becomes the object of your confidence, your devotion. You trust Him in everything, and you find that He is trustworthy in everything. Number four, fear the Lord. So trust the Lord and then fear the Lord. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, I hope you understand what that phrase means. You've probably heard your mom say that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. What that means is you think you're wise, but you're not, right? In your own estimation, you think, I've got this. I've got this figured out. I don't need to listen to you. I know. That's being wise in your own eyes. Ten trusted counselors could be saying to you, you know, I don't think you should do that. And you do it anyway. That's being wise in your own eyes. And your mother would say, don't do that. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And again, the benefit, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What does that mean? You'll feel good. You'll feel good. I mean, we all know that when you sin, you feel bad, don't you? It doesn't make you feel good. Oh, maybe for a while. Sin makes you feel bad. Sin drains your vitality. Sin steals your joy. Sin makes you feel guilty, and you have this burden of guilt and condemnation that you bear, and it weighs heavily on your conscience, and you can't get out from under it. It takes its toll on your body. And you may not feel that so much when you're young, but as you get older, man, it gets heavy. And your life begins to be filled with all kinds of regret and remorse. And instead of looking forward to length of days and years of life, you're filled with heartache and sorrow. You don't believe me? Ask David, Psalm 32:3, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And that's what happens when you sin. So fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Number five, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Verse 9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Have you heard your mom say that? Give. You need to give. When you make a little money, you need to learn. You need to start giving. And you need to do that. You need to cultivate the habit of doing that while you're young. God wants you to honor Him from your wealth, from the first of all your income. From the first paycheck, you need to start giving. Otherwise, if you don't learn to do that now, and you start making excuses now, then it'll be a lot easier to make excuses, and you'll really have bigger excuses later. wait until I make more, wait until I'm out of school, wait until the car's paid off, wait until I'm married, wait until the kids are out of school, wait until the house is paid off. God says, honor me. Show that you trust me by taking the first bushel that you harvest and give it to me. Learn to do that as soon as you start earning. That honors the Lord. It shows that you understand that all that I have is from the Lord, and it shows that you are trusting in the Lord to provide for you. And if you do that, verse 10 says, you'll always have enough. Number 6, accept the discipline of the Lord. Accept the discipline of the Lord. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. That's a principle that runs all through Scripture. Job said that, Job 5:17, behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Hebrews 12 teaches that. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. So learn to accept the discipline of the Lord, whatever form that may take. Failing chemistry lab, organic chemistry lab twice because you were being too lazy and undisciplined to get up and go to class. Whatever it is, you accept it. Let it produce what it's intended to produce in your life, namely the peaceful fruit of righteousness. But what's the benefit? The point of verse 12 is what? The Lord's discipline proves that he loves you. That he's your father and you're his child. He's committed to you. So, accept the rod. So, what's your mom saying? She's saying all these things. Maybe not in these exact words, but this is what she's saying. Commit your life to the Lord. Trust the Lord. Obey the Lord. Fear him. Honor him. Submit to him. That's what she wants. That you study and follow the teaching of Scripture, which leads to a long and peaceful life. That you keep the faith you've learned and professed and grow in usefulness to God and man. That you trust in the Lord and not in yourself. And seek him in everything so that your path in life will be clear. That you not be arrogant or enticed by evil, but walk humbly with the Lord, that you cultivate the habit of giving to God the first and the best of all your income so that you'll not have to worry about the future. And then that you learn to receive correction without resentment, knowing that reproof is the proof that you belong to God and he loves you and he's committed to you. Moms, are you saying that to your kids? I hope you are. Kids, are you listening? Are you listening? Dear mother, said a little fish, pray. Is not that a fly? I'm very hungry and I wish you'd let me go and try. Sweet innocent, the mother cried and started from her nook. That horrid fly is put to hide the sharpness of the hook. Now, as I've heard, this little trout was young and foolish too, and so he thought he'd venture out to see if it were true. And round about the hook he played with many a longing look, and, dear me, to himself he said, I'm sure that's not a hook. I can give one little pluck. Let's see. And so I will. So on he went, and lo, it stuck quite through his little gill. And as he faint and fainter grew, with hollow voice he cried, dear mother, if I'd minded you, I need not now have died. Listen to your mother. You say, why should I? Because I said so, that's why. Well, not exactly. There are reasons, three reasons. Look at this. Mom's reasons. Number one, her reason is so you will be happy. Look at this, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. You've heard your mom say that. I just want what's best for you. Right? I just want you to be happy. But she knows what that means, what that entails. John Piper wrote, I believe all men have this in common, that they want to be happy. They don't all agree on what brings the greatest happiness, but they all long to have it. And this longing is not bad. It's good. Evil consists in trying to find happiness in ways that displease and dishonor God. Goodness consists in finding happiness in ways that please and honor Him. God has created this world and its moral laws in such a way that the more we choose to glorify God, the happier we will be. That's right. Your mom just wants you to be happy, truly happy, eternally happy. Her second reason, so you will be secure. So you will be secure. Verses 19 through 26 focus on that. But look at verse 23. Then you will walk in your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You won't have to be afraid of sudden fear or the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. The Lord will be your confidence, will keep your foot from being caught. That's talking about security. And what is it in our world that people are obsessed with today? But security and safety, right? And sleep. Money can't buy that. Money cannot buy that. This life is filled with so many dangers, so many variables that you can't control. Safety is a myth. Security is a mirage. You can't even sleep at night unless the Lord is at your side. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the city, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Our only true protection is the Lord's protection. Our only security is the security of our salvation, period. Our only safety comes from living from the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 8:35, whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's sake, you'll save it. So your mother says to you, trust the Lord, fear the Lord, honor the Lord, submit your life to the Lord. Why should I? Because that's the only way to be happy. That's the only way to be secure. And third, it's the only way for you to be of any good to anybody. It's the only way for you to be of any good to God or man. That's what 27 to 35 is talking about. Doing good, loving your neighbor, doing what's right, doing what's fair and just and equitable, not being wicked, but being intimate and upright with the Lord, being truly righteous. And really, that's what true righteousness is. It's loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Doing right. That's the whole law. What does the Lord require of you but to walk humbly, love kindness, do justice? The Lord is intimate with the upright, verse 32 says. He's intimate with the upright. And so your mom wants you to be upright. She wants you to have that intimate relationship with the Lord so that He's blessing you and honoring you and lavishing His grace upon you so that you will become a blessing to others. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. So, will you be wise or will you be a fool? Listen to your mom. That's what we're saying. Assuming she's a Christian, a godly mother, and she's teaching you the Word of God, and she's trying to flesh that out and live it, model it before you. Listen, listen. She just wants you to be happy and secure and truly righteous before God, useful, blessed. So today, honor your moms, but don't let it just be today, okay? Honor her by taking to heart her instruction. Listen. Accept it. Spare yourself the misery of having to learn everything the hard way. She knows a thing or two. So listen to her. Father, again, we just want to say thank you for mothers. Thank you for the mothers of this church. Thank you for the mothers you put in our lives and how you've used them. We just pray that you would encourage them today and just strengthen them, bless them, and give them wisdom as they seek to impart wisdom to their children. May we hear your voice through hers, calling us to trust you and love you and follow you and live for you. And may we respond with obedient hearts, reverence, submission, faith, that with the wise we may inherit honor. Do that work, Lord. Thank you for the families here and their commitment to you to live by your word. We just pray that the seeds that are planted, many of them sown with tears, we just pray for the day when the harvest will come. So be gracious and do your work in our families. Preserve them. Save our kids. Cause them to live for you. We know that's what would make each father and mother here glad. So do that for Christ's sake. We pray in his name. Amen.
Please stand again. Take your hymnals. Turn to number 79. We'll sing "Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee," number 79.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. No voice can
of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.